Hi, everybody. It's Jane Hamill, and it's 5 o'clock in the morning as I'm recording this today. I woke up this morning feeling super inspired. And the strange thing is, it all comes from a Facebook post. So yesterday, I shared a post that I saw popped up in my feed from Danielle Laporte. If you don't know Danielle Laporte, you probably should, because she's just the perfect mix of like trippy love child, feelings girl, combined with the total truth bomb entrepreneur. And she's got an edge that you wouldn't think she has. So, you know, I checked her site this morning to give you guys a link to find her. And I saw the first thing she had was recovering from self-help exhaustion, join the club. And the thing that's funny is she's totally a self-help person. So that's why I like her. In any case, so back to the story. So I'm going to tell you about why I sold my business while it was successful and making money. And people thought I was completely crazy. And it's all inspired by this post. So I shared a post that Danielle Laporte had put on her site. And if you go back to my site at fashionbrainacademy.com/something, just Google, put in the search box on my blog, Danielle, and you'll find it. And I hope I can swear on iTunes, but we'll find out. A wise woman once said, fuck that shit, and lived happily ever after. Now, I was hesitant to share this post because, you know, there's swearing involved, and I swear on a regular basis in my private life and sometimes in my trainings and speaking engagements, and a lot I get flack from it. I know people don't like it, but I was like, you know what, this is too good and my people will get it, you know, and people don't like me swearing, then maybe I'm not the right person for them. So I felt I was taking kind of a risk to put this up on the Fashion Brain Facebook page, but I did it anyway. Well, it turns out it got 105 likes. This is only in the first like 12 hours, 10 comments and a bunch of shares. So people are relating to this, right? A wise woman once said, fuck that shit, and lived happily ever after. And I think the reason it inspired me so much to get on and tell you my story this morning while I'm trying not to wake up the kids is that we all reach a point, especially as entrepreneurs, when we're like, you know what? I'm not going to do it that way. Forget that. Everybody thinks I should be doing this, but I want to do this. Or, you know, I read the magazine and they're like, oh, how to lose 10 pounds. Well, what's wrong with my body right now? Fuck that shit, right? Or, you know, how to be kinder and this and that. You know what? Forget that. I'm fine the way I am. I'm going to do it my way. And it brings back so many feelings of the years of being an entrepreneur and having people not understand what the heck I was doing or why I was doing it and trying to gently or overtly coax me back into getting a job, doing the normal thing. I mean, it's only been like a year and a half now, 2 years, where my mom has not said to me every couple months, why don't you go, you know, she doesn't say, why don't you? She'd say, when are you going to get your MBA? Right? I'm leaving that silence there just as a dramatic pause because it's so ridiculous for my mom who knows me and has seen me have successful businesses my entire life. I've never had like a job, although owning your own business is a huge job, but I've never worked for a company since I was 23. When are you going to get your MBA? And I looked at her and I said, Mom, why do you think I need an MBA? Instead of just telling your mom, zip it, I'm never doing that, that's ridiculous. I said, why do you think I need that? Well, because then you could teach full time. So I teach a college course on Tuesdays every other semester, okay? My main gig is Fashion Brain, and it's been that way for 6 years. Before that, I had my own clothing line and retail store. In between there, I worked as a consultant for a retail consultant for specialty stores. So I don't even know where this is coming from. I go, Mom, what makes you think I would like to teach full-time? Well, if you do, you're going to need your MBA. I go, but I don't. But she goes, and then she says, but I said, why do you want me to do that? Why do you think it's a good idea? Because then you would always have a job. And I was like, Mom, I'm 49 years old. I've always had a job. I've always supported myself with my own business. Even though there have been times it's been lean and mean, baby, ramen noodles, I'm good, right? I bought a house. I own a cottage. I have to college. Like, I'm living the American dream here, Mom, doing it on my own. So my point is, people are going to think you're crazy. If you're an entrepreneur, there's a just so many people who don't get it. They don't see why you would take the risk of doing your own thing when you could easily get a job that would be safer. And sometimes people see you as very selfish. You mean you're going to give up a successful business to do what? That's what they had to ask me. So I want to tell you about why I gave up my business. When I was 40 years old, I'd had my store for 14 years and I'd had my wholesale line. And I was getting a little burned out. I was thinking about doing something new. It was 2007. Everything was going great with the business. We were making money. We were profitable. I didn't enjoy it very much these days because I was distracted by other things and stuff. And I'd been doing it so long and I'd worked so many hours for so many years. I started my business when I was 25 years old. I started it with a store, and within 3 months, actually, October, November, yeah, 3 months, a buyer from Marshall Field's Dayton Hudson Corp, now Macy's, came in and said, hey, your dresses are interesting. Would you like to show us the line? And I started shipping to my first major department store within 6 months of opening. So the wholesale thing came on hot and heavy in the beginning, and I never delegated properly. I was 25 when I opened it. It was like, it felt like, you know, my little baby. I hate it when people say that. And I encourage my clients not to call it a baby because it's not a baby. It's a business. A baby's a baby. But in any case, it feels like that. I get it. So years go by. I have a 3-year-old child, and now we have a second son, George. And George is born, and he's awesome, of course, but he's sick. And he has emergency surgery at the age of 4 weeks. Surgery for his stomach that if he doesn't have, you know, today, he's going to die, right? So it was terrible. And then it turns out he has a lot of other issues with asthma, allergies, eczema, all this stuff. And it was very overwhelming. And I was already to the point where I was getting frustrated with working so many hours and having a 3-year-old. And I didn't know how to delegate. You know, looking back, I realized I could have easily changed the way I worked and kept the business if I wanted to. But I was just done. And the reason I knew I was done is obviously because my son needed me. You know, I felt like this is going to be a full-time job taking care of his health issues, right? But he's fine now, by the way. He's 9 years old. He's playing baseball. He still has a lot of health issues. But they're not as traumatic as they were in the past. They're not always like, oh my gosh, he might die, you know? So it's not as awful. He has asthma, which can be very scary, but it's very controlled. So anyway, so I have this business. Everything's going just fine on the outside, but I'm secretly inside getting really sick of it. Sick of working that many hours. I loved my store. I loved my wholesale business. I loved walking in the door and looking around and saying, ah, this is my own store. Like it was amazing. And creating a product that you sell, that women wear, that changes their lives in some way. Like, you know, if you put on the right dress with the right this, then you start to think, I'm going to have a good time at this wedding instead of thinking, oh God, I'm going to run into my old boyfriend and I'm fat and I'm this. Like, there were a lot of things to love about that business. At the same time, there were a lot of things to not love. I think there really was a moment when I changed my mind about keeping the business. And it's when a woman walked in the store, and I don't tell the story very often, but I'm going to lay it out. A woman walked in the store and she said, Jane, hi. I knew her. She'd been a regular customer, a very nice person. She said, so today I need something to wear to the park and something for my husband's office party. And I just looked at her and I thought to myself, why don't you just wear what you got last time? Like, what, you need something cute to wear to the park? Why don't you go to Banana Republic? Why would you spend, you know, what I'm charging here on like cargo pants when you could get them at the Gap? Like, I all of a sudden I didn't care what she wore. And I thought, wow, you're going to your husband's office party and to the park And here I am to try to help you find more stuff when you probably already have enough in your closet. So that's not the attitude you want to have when you're a clothing designer who's trying to sell stuff, right? So at that moment, I thought to myself, I actually don't care what you wear. I actually don't even feel like helping you right now. Can you imagine? I don't know where that came from. For so many years, I was like, yeah, let's make you feel good. Let's make you look great when you go to the park, because that's important too. But I woke up and I guess I just said, fuck that shit. I don't care what you wear. I'm going to go live happily ever after. And then with the George thing, having him being needing me and not me feeling I wanted to be there for him, I was done. And I decided to sell. Actually, I didn't decide to sell. I decided to close my business. And my husband, who now we've been married almost 17 years, was very, very upset. He's like, why? Who sells a successful business? Why would you sell a business that's making money? You know, just, you know, do it with one hand, take care of a kid with the other hand. Well, you know, a dad doesn't always understand a mom's way. And I said, I can't do that. I can't. Everybody thought I was crazy. My dad is the only one who really understood because he was entrepreneurial himself. But the rest of the crew was pretty against it. And they made it pretty clear that I was taking an unnecessary risk and doing something selfish. Just because I was bored with the business or wanted to move on doesn't mean you should sell it. You have two kids, you have mortgages, let's go, you know. So people didn't agree. And that's typical with being an entrepreneur. You're going up against just societal norms that are not always in line with our vision. My friends who are entrepreneurs totally got it. My best friend totally got it. You know, there was some support, but there was a lot of negativity around that. So for some reason, I just had to say, forget this shit and live happily ever after. And as I was about to announce that I'm closing the store, a woman came in who's a client of mine and said, hey, why are you closing? I love this store. This is my favorite store and I have nowhere else to shop. I was like, yeah, sorry. That's a, you know, first world problem. I'm sure you'll figure it out. And she said, no, seriously. And then she came back the next day and she said, I was talking to my husband over coffee this morning and I told him how frustrated and sad I was that you were going to be closing because you were solving all my wardrobe problems here, Jane. And he said, well, why don't you buy it? And I was like, I gotta love your husband, girl. That is awesome. So I ended up selling the business to her, and I didn't know how to sell a business, of course. So I talked to another retailer in my network. Again, always important to have a network. And she suggested I call this retail consultant who is a niche specialty store consultant. I'd never heard of that type of thing. I called her up. Her name is Kathy Wagner. She's the owner of Retail Mavens. And she is awesome. So she came in. She worked with me and she worked with the buyer for my business to evaluate the business and give it a price and negotiate the deal. And it was pretty great, I gotta say. My business was named Jane Hamill, so I really didn't think I could sell it. Plus, I was designing most of the clothes in the store. Not all of them, but probably 60%. And so I thought, well, what's the business worth without me? Because I did not want to keep designing. I really wanted to, I thought I would want to stay home with the kids, honestly. I thought, you know, 14 years of hauling butt every day, I'm gonna just like stay home. That'll be easier. I actually said that to myself. It'll be easier to stay home with the kids. Oh my God, that was not easy. And I think I did it for like, you know, 60 days before I was back doing some more work at other things because it was too hard. It's hard to stay home and take care of kids. I, you know, respect to all you mamas who do it and dads. So we negotiated the deal and I decided to sell. And that took some of the pain away for my husband because at least, you know, I made money off of the sale. But I'll tell you that he is still pissed. He is. He's still pissed that you would sell, that I would sell a successful business. Because who does that, right? You look at the numbers, logically, you would keep the business. In my gut, I was finished. I was ready to move on. I wanted to do something different. So that was that. So that's, people ask all the time, well, if your business was so great, why'd you get rid of it? Well, that's the reason why. That's the true, honest to God story. You know, you always get those sort of watered down versions like, I was ready for a new challenge. I wanted to spend more time with my family. True, but I was also burned out. So that was that. So I sold it and I did live happily ever after. I love Fashion Brain. I love teaching entrepreneurs how to be business savvy and how to make money and sell and how to, and I love working with startups. I adore my new designer program and people in my mastermind group for startups. It's a blast. And I think I found what's right for me right now. And you know what? Who knows? Someday I might look at the business I have now and say, fuck that shit, and live happily ever after doing something else. I don't know. But when you're a true entrepreneur, these things just have to be done. So if you're feeling any, you know, negativity or people don't understand around you, it doesn't mean that they don't love you. It doesn't mean you can't be friends with them. It just means they don't get it. And that's okay. They're still your people, right? Be sure, I really suggest you surround yourself with other entrepreneurs and people on the same path as you. People who get it when you do things that do not look logical, but they're just what you feel you have to do. All right. Thanks for listening, guys. And once again, shout out to Danielle Laporte. And actually, hold on a second. I think she retweeted this from an, I want to give credit here. I think this came off of Instagram. It's at koya.love, koya.love. And again, it's on my blog. I posted the screenshot of the Facebook post. And by the way, when Danielle posted it, she has, you know, a huge audience. I think she has, you know, thousands of people liking it and, you know, hundreds and hundreds of comments because it's something that we can all relate to. So here's to taking a risk and putting swear words on your Facebook page and telling our stories. Have an awesome day, guys. And thank you so much for listening. Catch you later. Bye.